love when kids throw stuff at me. Get the attention, us. Here, scribes and Pharisees have stones in their hand to throw at this woman, but this incident is taking place, that is in chapter 8, is taking place in front of the temple court, which is inside the city. So, but when the movies are today, they want that they dramatize things, they want to get the excitement, so therefore, they actually portray the way that is to move people. We'll be continuing the series called Rescue. There is no one other than God who can pull off this rescue like this. I want to thank Pastor David for this, and for all glory and praises and honor goes to our Father in heaven. Again, my name is John Chacko. It is my privilege to stand before you to, with the word of God, and my sincere thank goes to my Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. Can we bow our head in prayer? For Father God in heaven, we praise you, Lord, we honor you. Lord, your name is higher than any other name. Your glory goes above any other glory. You are God above all gods, Lord. We thank you and we praise you, Lord. We acknowledge you today, Lord. Your presence is here, Lord. I'm humbled. Father God, Lord, as your word is being talked about and preached, prepare the hearts, Lord. Let the move of the Holy Spirit takes place in this place, Father God. We thank you, Lord, for your presence. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen. I'm so excited to preach or talk about this portion because when I was thinking about it for a couple of weeks, what came into my mind is something different than what is really written there. Let me go back to some background of this. If you read the end of chapter 7, you will see this. Although the Romans ruled Palestine at this time, the Jesus time, they gave Jewish religious authorities some minor things over the religious and civil affairs. These leaders had temple guards who they are supervising. And these temple guards have the authority to go out and arrest people who are breaking any kind of laws. Because these leaders have developed hundreds of trivial laws, it is impossible for anyone to break, not to break or neglect or ignore at least few of them. At some other time, the temple guards couldn't even find one reason to arrest Jesus. Every place that Jesus spoke, these temple guards always followed in the vicinity of Jerusalem. And they actually looked upon everything that he spoke. Is he breaking any kind of rules or regulations? But they couldn't find not one. But they couldn't help also themselves by hearing the wonderful words he said. These Jewish leaders saw themselves as an elite group that alone had the truth. They resisted the truth about Christ because it wasn't theirs to begin with. It is easy for them to think they have the truth because they know the law and the prophets, and anything else isn't truth to them. What they heard from Jesus wasn't truth at all to them because they thought Jesus is a Galilean. They were judging Jesus because he lived in Galilee and didn't fit into their self-centered narrow attitude. John chapter 7, verse 40 to 42. Let me quickly just go to that place. It says, some of the people were therefore heard these words, they were saying, this certainly is a prophet. And others were saying, this is Christ. Still others were saying, surely the Christ is not going to come from Galilee. You see? Has not the scripture said that Christ comes from the descendant of David and from Bethlehem, the village where David was?
So the division occurred in the crowd, and because of him, some of them wanted to seize him, but no one laid hands on him. And we can see that what's happening there today is same thing what is happening nowadays. It sounds so familiar to us. What happened 2,000 years ago is still happening today. Devil is up to his same old tricks. The unsaved elites of today cannot come up with anything new. Today's elites, as we watch TV, they control all medias. They control politics. They control education. They control many of the corporate world. When the truth of the Word of God is talked about, if it doesn't fit their agenda, they create a perception of doubt through the media by twisting the truth. This is exactly what happened in the Garden of Eden. Remember when Eve was deceived by the serpent? He didn't actually lie. He twisted the truth. He took upon the Word of God and used part of it. This is what goes on today. But we need to rise above this thing. The next slides will show one of my favorite words in the Bible, Proverbs chapter 3. Verse 5, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. Praise God. Hallelujah. This is one of my favorite words in the Bible because it sustained me through a lot of difficulties in my life. I want to share a personal story with you. About 15 years from this very day, my sisters and I were sitting in the hospital room at my mom's bedside. She walked into that hospital about 20 days prior to May 9th to have a normal procedure by a doctor who was the chief of cardiology in the hospital and who we knew very personally. A couple of weeks prior to this thing, he called me several times. John, that she needs this test. She needs to have it done. So I concurred and I agreed. We had the test done on May 9th. She walked in. She was 64 years old, very healthy, without a problem. And test went everything so well without any glitch. He came to me after the test. My sister and I were there. And he said, your mom's heart is more healthier than yours or mine. I said, great, everything's went so well. And he said, by this afternoon, you can take her home, she's all fine. But she was displaying, by later in the mid-morning to the afternoon, she was displaying some brain ischemic symptoms, which the nurses called and reported. And he said, no, it's fine. She's having headache or high blood pressure, which is fine. And that evening, she was discharged. The same night, I had to take her back to the hospital with ambulance. The following day, Friday, May 10th, she was declared brain dead. Twenty days from that, on May 29th, which is tomorrow, in 2002, 2:30 p.m. in the afternoon, she passed away. In February of same year, 2002, I remember I was talking to her when she was traveling with my dad in North India. She was riding on camels and elephants on a traveling tourist. And I said, you did that? I said, she showed me the pictures when she came back. Just a few months after, here I'm burying her. And I asked myself after a few days when everything calmed down, everybody left, John, why did you allow this to happen? You're a medical professional. You're a clinician. You're so used to critical care in the hospital for so many years. Why did you agree with this doctor to have this procedure done? I blame myself for months walking around. I used to go to parks by myself, sit on a bench, thinking, how could I lose my best friend from this world? But at that time, Holy Spirit very gently used to remind me of this word, trust in the Lord. Do not lean on your own understanding. Many of us go through these kind of situations in our life. We begin to question ourselves. We begin to have a guilt-ridden life. Did we do enough? Or are we doing the right things? And all of those comes through into our minds through everything that is surrounding us. Everything that we perceive through our senses. And the Holy Spirit, if you are able to listen to Holy Spirit, and Holy Spirit in each and every time tell you, do not lean on your own understanding. Amen. Hallelujah. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. What you hear from this world, from the media, isn't correct. It's twisted truth. Praise God. Hallelujah. We need to filter out a lot of things that we hear from the world. Lots of our understanding comes from what we hear. Praise God. Hallelujah. This is why the second part of this word says, in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. We should always allow the Holy Spirit to guide and lead us in each and every day of our life. And the only way we can hear the Holy Spirit is if we are learned to filter what we hear. Praise God. Therefore, it is time for us to learn to filter what we hear from all of these sources. We humans have an innate drive to believe what we hear the most. Faith is this innate sense which is placed in us by God. God has given this faith to everyone. This is the curiosity. Every time we hear something, every time we see something, we want to explore that. That's a curiosity that was placed in us by God. We have this drive to discover what we hear. This is what Bible says, faith comes from hearing. It is hard to control what we hear with all of these devices that we have. But we can filter out what we hear. How do we do that? If you turn to God, it's simple. That's why it was so. David says in Psalms 119, verse 11, I have hidden your words in my heart that I may not sin against you. Best way to filter out a lot of things of the world and a lot of things from your own thoughts is to hide the word in your heart. Hiding the words, His words, and understanding it and learning to apply is the way that we can filter out a lot of these things. Therefore, knowing God's word, we can filter all that we hear and we can deepen our faith in the word of Christ. Knowing and understanding the word of Christ is very important. Self-study works somewhat, but you will have many questions. Thus, it is important to get those questions answered by people who love you. That's why it's so important to get connected to the connect groups that we have here in Oasis. We have many connect groups. There are Bible study connect groups, prayer connect groups, and you need to get, if you're not connected to one of those connect groups, please do so. You can sign up in the back and attend those connect groups. It's very important. Then the slide says, Romans 10:17 says, so faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. If you, the Romans chapter 10, the Paul explains how to get saved by faith. From I just wanted to read words from 8 onwards that he says, but what does it say? The word is near to you, your mouth and in your heart, and that is the word of faith which we are preaching. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and you will be saved. For the heart, the person believes with the resulting in righteousness. With the mouth, he confesses, resulting in salvation. Praise God. Hallelujah. This is what the word of God says. As Christians, we cannot close our eyes and ears from the morning till night to stop us from seeing and hearing everything that goes from this world. But adding some word of God with meditation will a long way to help you to filter out many of these things. Here, chief priests and Pharisees trying to arrest Jesus and shut him up. The way they were looking, they are looking for a legitimate reason to shut Jesus up. But one of them, Nicodemus, told them, is it not legal to convict a man before giving him a trial? You will see that at the end of chapter 7. And since, because he said that, they accused him of being ignorant of the law and the prophets. But chief priests and Pharisees thought they have a way to trap Jesus. So slide 6 will show from beginning of chapter 8. But Jesus went to the Mount Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple. And all the people were coming to him. And the crowd soon gathered and sat down and taught them. As he was speaking, the scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in the act of adultery, and they put her in front of the crowd. And you know, notice one thing, the Bible doesn't say about who is this woman. Never talks about her name. There are a lot of unnamed women in the Bible. But very important things to learn from there. And next slides we read. And they said to him, teacher, this woman has been caught in the adultery, in the very act. Now the law of Moses commands us to stone such a woman. What do you say? They were trying to trap him into saying something they could use against them. But Jesus stooped down. Many times when I read this, I often wonder. Here, they are asking him a question. Anytime they asked Jesus a question, he never turned away from answering it. He always had an answer. Here, Jesus, hearing their question, he stooped down. Began to look at the ground. And I often wondered, I can only come up with, why did he stoop down? And often I come up with my own answer to that question. He's stooping down, asking of Jesus, suggesting to them, why have you need to stoop so low in order to trap me? You're deceiving yourself. You're quoting the Moses law, and you're not even quoting correctly. The Moses law in Deuteronomy chapter 22 and Leviticus 20 says, the man and the woman shall be stoned, and they shall be stoned outside of the city walls. You are standing in the temple court right now. Where is the man? They picked the woman to trap Jesus. Then he began writing in the dust. I often wonder, what did he write in that dust? I'm sure now many of you had the same questions in your mind. Haven't you? With the writing in the dust, Jesus might be suggesting you are being the brood of vipers that you are. Jesus called on the brood of vipers in Matthew chapter 23, verse 33. Why did he call the brood of vipers? It's such a harsh language. When we read that chapter, we come to understand that the serpent is the devil, who is the father of all lies. He's the father of deception. You are coming to me, Jesus saying, you are coming to me with deception, so your father is the devil himself. You're the brood of vipers. You are dust, and dust you shall return. Therefore, he's writing in the dust. He's pointing to them. But Jesus didn't say any of that. He did not judge them. The slide that says, but when they persisted in asking him, he straightened up and said to them, He who is without sin among you, let him throw the first stone at her. Then he stooped down again, wrote in the dust. Suggesting today is not your day, even though through deception you will have your chance. Jesus wants to rescue them. He came to the world. Why? He came to Jewish, his own people, in order to bring them salvation. But they are utterly rejecting him. Next slides will say, when the accusers heard this, they slipped away one by one, beginning with the eldest. Why did the elder one leave first? Because their maturity, they probably know more about their own self than the young, immatured young man. The verse 10 says, Jesus stood up again and said to the woman, where are your accusers? Didn't even one of them condemn you? Here Jesus bringing her into a realization, the moment that you come to Jesus, all your sins will be washed away. He has paid the price, the ransom. Therefore, no one can condemn you. She's with her Savior. And the woman answered, no, Lord. When she realized that no one is condemning her, she acknowledged Jesus as her Lord, because Jesus just saved her from her death. Even though what she did was wrong, she changed. She could have left when the accusers left. She didn't come there with her own will. She was brought there, wasn't she? But after seeing and hearing all that went on, she knew this man, Jesus, has some kind of authority. Because the scribes and the Pharisee who brought her there has the authority to arrest her. But Jesus had displayed such an authority there that he even goes above them. Therefore, she submitted herself to Jesus and acknowledged Jesus as her Lord. And Jesus turned around in verse 11, that Jesus said to her, neither do I. Go and sin no more. Jesus did not condemn her, nor did he condone her actions. She did not judge the Pharisees or scribes. He did not judge her either. Jesus did not come into the world in order to judge this world, but he came into the world in order to save sinners. Praise God. Hallelujah. Jesus rescued this woman. Praise God. The next verse says, Jesus rescued this woman from her accusers. In front of the whole crowd, she was accused, but she could not deny because she was caught in the very act. But Jesus gave her the freedom. John 8, chapter, verse 36 says, so if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. Today, Jesus can set you free. If you are in any kind of bondage through your own thoughts, through your own mind, Jesus can set you free. Praise God. Hallelujah. She did not have any respect for him on the day she began her business. But Jesus brought her to a high regard. They brought her to trap Jesus, but Jesus saved her. Romans chapter 12 verse 10 says, Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference. The next that we will see that the world looked upon as a dirty woman. She's allowed others to abuse her, but Jesus brought her into perfection. 2 Corinthians says, anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. If you are in Christ today, you are a new creation. You are in the perfection of Jesus Christ. Don't let anybody of this world put you down. Don't let you become the second to no one. Because you have the power of Jesus that is in you. Praise God. Hallelujah. She is no longer despised. And she became new and all things are passed away. And 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, all things are passed away. Behold, everything has become new. Praise God. The Lord demanded her stoning, but grace rescued her from stoning. Romans chapter 3 explains how from law to grace people move. Today you are under grace. The mercy of God. Praise God. Hallelujah. She could not live in resentment anymore, but with Jesus, she has joy. Praise God. Hallelujah. Joy comes in the morning. We can read that. We sing that. With Jesus, we got all the joy. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. She was hated by other women because she feared all men. And Jesus showed her a love that lasts forever. 1 John 4:18 and 19 says, such a love has no fear because perfect love expels all fear. If you have any kind of fear in your life today, understand you just need the perfection of the love that Jesus shared with you. He shared such a love that cast out all fear. You don't need to be afraid of anything. You don't need to be afraid of your own thoughts. You don't need to be afraid of anything that goes on because you are. You don't even need to be afraid of death. Because like Paul says, if I live on, I will go out and preach and gain more people to the Lord. But if I die today, I'll be with my Lord. Either one is a gain. There is no loss. You are already standing in victory. Praise God, hallelujah. You are in victory. Praise God, hallelujah. You are standing in victory. You are not running to victory. You are not in a race to get to victory. But you are in victory and you are running the race. So you are, hallelujah. It's not how fast you get there. Praise God, hallelujah. The quality is more important than quantity. Praise God, hallelujah. Quality is more important than quantity. Praise God, hallelujah. Praise God. This slide will show that only Jesus can pull off such a rescue. I want to call the band forward. Don't you want to be rescued also? We have prayer warriors here. Rick, Christine, and Sam, and all others will be in the back for you to pray with. If you have not accepted Jesus as your Savior today, you can be rescued today. If you have any kind of guilt feelings, you can be rescued today. If you have any kind of pain or sickness in your body, you can be rescued today. If you have any kind of addictions, you can be rescued today. Praise God, hallelujah. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. You know, these are, don't, you know, receive this as some words being said. In through one ear and out through the other ear. Let me tell you, I have experienced this. I have experienced this in my life many times. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And if you don't lean on your own understanding, God will take you to a higher place in your life. You can reach your potential that God has already invested in you. You know, God has more faith than you have in yourself. You can do greater things.
Yes.
You can achieve greater things in your life. Pay attention to the Holy Spirit, who's leading and guiding. So filter out all of these noises all around you. Go inward. That's why when we pray, we tend to bow. It is in reverence. At the same time, we're looking inward. We're looking inward unto Jesus, where He resides in us. All glory and honor goes to our Lord. Can we stand on our feet? Today, I ask you, do not leave from this place without getting prayed with the people standing in the back. If you have any kind of needs, we love you so much. Therefore, just pray with someone before you leave. Jesus can heal you today. Whatever is ailing you, you can be delivered from it. You can be healed today. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Let's give all the glory and honor to our Lord Jesus Christ. Let